Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here on Solid Ground. Pastor Brian Parrish starts off this week with a study entitled Principles of Faith as he goes verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. And believe it or not, we will be finishing the third chapter this week after many studies in the book of Joshua. And this morning, what I want to speak to you on, and I've given the title of this message, Principles in Faith. And we'll be looking at verses 11 through 17 to the end of the chapter there on what God would require of us as He wants to use our life, raises up for His kingdom and His purposes, and how we're to respond in faith to such a calling upon us as a church as well as individuals. So why don't we read together as we go through verses 11 through 17, if you'd follow along in your Bibles as we read this portion of Scripture. It says, "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." So this morning, from this portion of the word, I want to draw out five principles that we could look at in teaching us about faith, which is obviously an important subject in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And this first principle that I want to draw, actually I want to take you back to verse 7 for a minute and look at a principle or something that's been stirring in my own heart all this week, where the Lord says to Joshua, "And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I'll begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." This first principle that I want to talk about in Lessons on Faith is watch out for pride. Here, God is going to exalt Joshua to the point where, just as they had esteem and respect for Moses, they'd have that same honor and respect for Joshua now. And God's about to raise him up in the eyes of the people by doing this miracle. Because Joshua is going to, he's going to be the one that's, he's going to prophesy or predict that it's going to happen. He says the priests are going to move out, they're going to step in the water, and then the Jordan is going to part. And just like God parted the Red Sea through Moses, now God's going to part the Jordan through Joshua. So it really is quite an honor, quite a blessing from heaven above as God's going to raise this man up. And this isn't the first time that God has used Joshua. If you'd go back into the writings of Moses, Joshua's Moses' assistant, was a faithful assistant. Some of the battles that he won, Moses sent him out. God put a degree of honor upon Joshua's life, but now it's going to be magnified in the hearts and lives of people. And the reason I say watch out for pride is because when you start walking by faith and God starts using you and the power of God goes out, the devil's going to be right there, as well as this flesh of ours is going to want to steal some of the credit, is going to want to get in on some of the glory. And if you have a heart to be used by the Lord and you also have a desire to be basking in the glory and the prestige of the people, you're a target for the devil, because he will zero in on that area of your life. And although God may use you, he'll be disqualified because of the pride that's in your hearts. And so this is why so often what happens before God ever uses a person, before they ever stand in front of a group of people, that there's many lessons in humility, because God has to put that to death. And that desire for attention, that desire for recognition, that desire to look at me, hey, look who God's using, is in all of us, and it has to be driven out by the power of God. With Joshua, God gave him a degree of glory in times past and military victories. He didn't take the attention to himself. Now he's a candidate or a vessel that God could raise up even higher in his kingdom to bring about this miraculous power in leading the nation of Israel. I think of the devil, as it says of him, when he saw the glory of God, it says, I'll exalt my throne as high as the Lord's. And he wanted that glory that was alone to be given to God. And God says he'll share his glory with no man. So God may use you, but you have to make sure that you continue to walk in humility, that you don't want to be in the limelight, that you don't want to be out in front of the people. You don't want the attention. It's something that you should be surprised that God would use your life, because you realize there's not much to work with, but God simply has chosen you by his grace. The Bible would also say in the New Testament for a new believer not to become an elder, because he will fall in the snare of the devil. That snare is that issue of pride. Look at me. Look what God's doing through my life. And a young believer doesn't understand that God's not using that person because of something great in them, but because of God's sovereign choice and because of it's his power and his might and not the Lord's. And for me, I don't want to do anything that the Lord has not called me to. I don't want my name to be out in front, really, of anything. I want the Lord's name to be honored. Now, for example, like at this crusade, they schedule me in to do the opening prayer greeting. I don't really want to do that. I don't have no desire to go out in front of that bull ring just because there's people there and say something. I'd rather just stay on the side and pray. And, you know, I don't speak Spanish. The prayer has to be interpreted. And so I try and avoid it. I tried to avoid it by staying out on the outside of the parking lot and visiting with people as the beginning started. And Chris went out there and he welcomed everybody, and then he forgot to pray. So I came walking in thought it was safe, and he said, oh, I forgot to pray. You're going to have to go up there. So I just don't have any desire to want to push myself in front of anybody. If the Lord gives me that honor, so it's him. But I don't want anything in me longing for that attention. I want to put it to death over and over and over again. And if God raises me up, or you up, whoever he chooses to raise up, and he exalts in the eyes of the people and puts the respect in the heart of people, let the Lord do that. And realize it's not you, but it's the Lord's work and his power. And Joshua is a proven character that God could raise up, and he wouldn't steal the glory. God wants to receive all the glory and attention. This is a bigger subject than you realize. It's definitely that trap of the devil to get someone that's walking in the things of God and then to take the attention back to themselves. And the potential is in all of us, and it must be put to death over and over and over again. We need to continue to examine our hearts in that area so we could remain that place that God could lift us up. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And what does he do? He will exalt you in due time. We humble ourselves, he raises us up. Don't seek to be raising yourself up. That is, that's the work of the enemy. So watch out for pride would be the first lesson in faith if God's going to use you. Second of all, number two, from verses 11 through 13, you need to focus on the promises of God. Faith focuses on God's promises. Verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. And so here the emphasis on the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant is mentioned 10 times in chapter 3. There's a focus on the ark because that was that place where God met with man, is where he made his presence known. And the ark of the covenant, it receives its name because what was placed in this box that had a gold overlaid on it, the mercy seat was laid upon that. Then these two angels and their wings touched, and they were made of gold as well, were carried on this box. And inside the box, there were three important things. There was a copy of the Ten Commandments. And according to Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, it said Moses wrote the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, in one sense, summarizes God's covenant with the nation of Israel. Because it starts with, I am the Lord God who brought you out of the bondage of Egypt. And then he lists the commands. So symbolically, the Ten Commandments symbolizes all that the covenant represents, all the promises as well as all the commands of God. And so that was placed in the ark. Next to that was Aaron's rod that budded. Very important. The people kept complaining against Moses and his leadership as well as against Aaron. And God raised up Aaron through, so that the priesthood would come through. So Moses finally got tired of it. He says, okay, everyone from one of the tribes, bring basically a stick. And we'll also put Aaron's stick there with that. And we'll lay him aside and we'll see who God chooses by causing this rod to bloom, to bring forth buds, you know, like a live plant. So the next day they checked, and there was only one that had those buds on it, the blooms on it, and that was Aaron's rod. And God was saying, I have chosen Aaron and his family, and that's where the priesthood is going to come through. I'm going to bring life through him. He's just like a dead stick, but my powers has chosen to work through Aaron and not the others. God was going to use them to a degree, but this was where the priesthood would come. And then there was a pot of manna, and the Lord told Moses to put it in there to remind the people that for 40 years, God provided for the nation of Israel up to the point in which they are on this side of the Jordan, the very place we find ourselves here in Joshua. Evidently, in the book of Joshua, you don't find any more of the provision of manna. God ceased it and provided through other means that way. But for 40 years, God's provision. And the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to go out in front of the people, the priest bearing it. And when the Ark gets there and the priests are in the water, that's when this miraculous power is going to take place. I want to get back to that, but keep your thoughts on those three things that are in the Ark of the Covenant thing.